Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Did you hear reporter Jim O'Grady's piece today that aired on Morning Edition, in which he talked to the father of Allison Liao, a little girl killed crossing a street in Queens last October, and how that death has made activists of the family? Here are some traffic statistics cited by Allison's father, Shipei Liao.
Every 33 hours, someone die on the street. And every day, five children are struck. And, you know, I think every year, 7,000 are critically injured. These are people with, you know, skull fractures, you know, missing limbs, and they're considered lucky.
So also today, WNYC News and our Transportation Nation project launch a year-long series, Mean Streets, in which we investigate every traffic fatality that takes place in 2014, and there have been 45 so far, including the one, or similar to the one that killed four-year-old Allison in October. Jim O'Grady joins me now, along with Transportation Nation reporter Kat Aaron. Thank you both. Good morning.
Hello, Brian.
Good morning.
And let's talk about her first. What were the circumstances behind Allison Liao's death?
It was a Sunday evening around 5 o'clock. She was staying with her grandmother, Chin Hua, who's 71, in Flushing. And they just set out to go to the grocery store. It's three blocks away. You cross the street in two places. They got a little watermelon, and as they were walking back, they were halfway across Main Street in the crosswalk, and they were walking with the light. A car came from behind them and made a left turn, an SUV actually. He had the light as well, but he failed to yield. He apparently was distracted or didn't see them. It's unclear. And he knocked the grandmother down, injuring her slightly, and ran over Allison, four-year-old Allison.
So sad. So horrible. What was the outcome for the driver?
He was given two summonses. One of them is failure to yield to a pedestrian. One of them is something like driving without due care. He was not charged criminally with reckless driving, which is typical for a case like this.
So I'm struck by that fact that pedestrians have the right of way in crosswalks, and you said they were crossing with the light, but drivers face no real penalty if they ignore that.
It's very hard to prosecute these cases, Brian, in New York State. The requirement for prosecuting is very stringent. Typically, there has to be proof that the driver was incapacitated by either alcohol or drugs at the time of the collision, and that's hard to meet. This driver had some alcohol in his system, but not above the legal limit.
Kat Aaron, tell us about your series.
We have been trying to document all of the traffic fatalities in New York City this year, and that has proved surprisingly difficult. Some of that information is available from the New York Police Department, but their information that they put out publicly, sort of available to the general public, runs on a pretty long lag, 6 weeks or so. And it doesn't give you any information about the specifics of the crash, who was killed, what the circumstances were. It's just sort of a raw tally. So we have been working to put names and details to these incidents, and it's actually 46 as of this morning. There was another driver who was killed on early this morning.
And I wonder to what extent your series was inspired by this announcement from Mayor de Blasio back in January.
The goal is literally to reduce fatalities on our roadways to zero.
He set a high bar, didn't he?
He did, and the goal is to reduce those fatalities to zero within the next 10 years, so 2024. One of the things that's a challenge in terms of tracking progress towards that goal is creating this compendium of fatalities. How do you know if the city or the administration is making progress towards that zero goal, if it's difficult to even ascertain the number of people killed?
Yeah, and that the Vision Zero project of Mayor de Blasio very much inspired this series. It will probably never get to zero, but there are specific actions that he's proposing, and part of this project's goal is to see whether those actions are being met. One of them is lowering the speed limit, the default speed limit on local streets in New York City to 25 miles per hour. Another is to re-engineer 50 intersections, dangerous intersections a year. Will they do that? Will they live up to these promises? That's part of what this project is about.
Listeners, want to talk about the project, mapping in effect and gathering data about every traffic fatality in New York City this year, or want to talk about some of the policies around this, or ask our reporters, Jim O'Grady or Kat Aaron, questions, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or you can post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and also you can read some of their material at transportationnation.org. And Kat, we should mention there's a data visualization element to the Main Street series. Tell us about that.
There is. Working with the data news team here, we built a tracker that lets people sort by a series of different categories, whether there was a driver killed, a passenger, a pedestrian, or a cyclist, the age of the person killed. And it also displays the precinct and the council district in which the fatality occurred, which helps people understand who is the what the jurisdiction is that they might want to contact if they want to express concern about the speeding or other moving violations in their community.
I was just going to throw in a Google view of the intersection collision occurred.
Do you hope to learn then something about the types of intersections or the types of neighborhoods or some kind of patterns, if you're crunching data, about where accidents take place that could lead to prevention measures?
That's definitely one of the long-term considerations of the project, yes, to sort of assess the infrastructure and think about whether there are patterns in the fatalities.
Arlene in Manhattan has a story. Arlene, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for doing this segment. I am a cyclist, and a couple of years ago, I was riding down 42nd Street, and I had my helmet on, lights flashing. I have three different lights on my bike. And a cab driver, in order to save time, made a U-turn in the middle of 42nd Street and took me down. Nothing happened to the gentleman who drove the cab as far as I was told. No ticketing, nothing. And the cab company hired a lawyer to fight paying me for the, you know, time that I lost at work. I did win the case, but
you had to do this. Law enforcement didn't step in. The state didn't step in and say, you made an illegal U-turn. You're going to be punished to whatever degree that would be appropriate, in a criminal case. And that doesn't necessarily give you damages, but at least it puts an extra dose of fear in people who might do this potentially. Is that your point?
That is my point. And I just don't understand how, I mean, he did violate the traffic laws by making a U-turn. He didn't get a ticket. He got nothing. And there were witnesses who saw this. And nothing happened to him. And I actually went to someone in Albany about this, but really nothing happened. And I just don't understand how there are no penalties for doing this. And I see all the time people making U-turns in the middle of streets. And I saw one not long ago, and there was a cop car right there, and he did nothing.
Yeah. Thank you, Arlene. And I'm sorry that you got hit, and I appreciate you sharing your experience with everybody. And, of course, nobody does this with the intent of being cavalier about hitting anybody. We assume that all taxi cab drivers, all everybody who's behind a car, the last thing they want to do, because people have a little bit of a conscience and also because it's so not in their interest to get involved in an accident that hits a pedestrian, they're obviously not cavalier about hitting somebody. But the kinds of traffic infractions that put you at greater risk when you don't think about that you might be potentially hitting somebody are not treated as seriously as a lot of people like Arlene would like.
That's true. Let's hope that's the case, that people don't want to hit other people.
You're not giving me that?
No, I'll give you that, Brian. I hew more toward your worldview, definitely.
But at least on that.
On that, yes. Maybe not on the Yankees. But there is sort of a leftover feeling sometimes in law enforcement that the New York City streets are just this Darwinian swirl. And, you know, you enter at your own risk and what happens, happens. And it, and these are not criminal matters. One thing this
advocacy— Darwinian is a chilling word in that context when you think survival of the fittest.
Yeah, and for some people, it's some people don't survive when they step out into New York City. Advocates are saying that in the case of, say, a cabbie who is involved in a fatal collision, perhaps that license should be suspended for a while, or perhaps that cabbie should be required to take a defensive driving class, something more than what commonly occurs.
And Cassius in Brooklyn, I think, wants to put the taxi driver experience in some context. Cassius, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian. I've been a cabbie for about a year and a half, and I can't believe all the problems I've seen out there in the streets. I mean, it's such a city of pedestrians and people using mass transit that so many people don't even know what's going on out there. There's lights all over the city that are burned out, that are never changed. I drive at night, so that it's just it's stuff that the city should be doing, fixing the streets also. The streets are an unholy mess. And it's also people, I can't believe this is going on. They're driving around with their high beams on constantly. And that's supposed to be
blinding the people coming the other way.
Right. And also, it's not just driving with them on, but also you can tell where they've had to replace one of their headlights. And the new headlight they've gotten is, like, totally way too bright. It's as if there's no standards at all for the cars at night. And it creates all this visual chaos where it's really hard for us to see. And
so you want, in general, more of a law and order approach to the streets than you're finding in the last year and a half as a driver of a taxi.
Yeah, yeah. There's those factors that really create a lot of problems for us visually. And also that if you really want to get to the heart of the matter here, that it's that we're being charged so much to rent the cab. That's all we do. Most of the drivers here in the city, we pay for a 12-hour block of time to drive the cab. And we pay around $130 just for that 12 hours alone. And we're under all this stress each shift. Each shift is a minimum of 10 hours. And we're not guaranteed to make any money whatsoever. There's no minimum wage.
Yeah, there's all this incentive to drive aggressively. I don't know how you take that out of the picture. And Cassius, thank you for your call, because taxi drivers are always going to make more money the more fares they pick up and the quicker they can deliver them to their destination. So I think that's, you know, maybe you could reduce that by not having it be so close to zero profit with what they're charged to take out the taxis for a night, as I think Cassius is bringing up. But, you know, you're never going to eliminate that factor of more and faster means a better income for taxi cab drivers, but it's a good thing to raise. I want to take a couple of calls from people who are pushing back on the pedestrians, because we have a number of them up on the board. And let's just hear very briefly a few of these people and what they're going to say. Dave in the Bronx, you're a truck driver?
Yes, I'm a truck driver. And I just see that people's behavior, because I drive all over from New York City all the way up to Albany, up to everywhere. And you could see exactly the way people cross streets in these different types. Everybody that's crossing the street seems to want to play chicken, whether it be a truck, an 18-wheeler, or a crane, whatever. They just really don't care.
What do you mean by play chicken?
They play chicken in the sense that they launch themselves and they don't give you eye-to-eye contact. And eye-to-eye contact you will get if you're driving in Albany, if you're driving in Syracuse, if you're driving in Orange County, even in Rockland County. But you get into the New York City, they turn their eyes around, they turn their heads around, I should say, and they go forward as if there is nothing in front of them or nothing coming towards them. And you're trying to get their attention, that you're blocking traffic, that this is not a good position for a truck, it's not a good position for a cabbie, it's not a good position for anyone, but they still want to just lunge forward.
Dave, thank you. Call us again. Wow, New York City pedestrian culture as a particular thing, as seen through the eyes of professional truck driver Dave. And I think Kathy in New Haven has a similar experience and observation. Kathy?
Yes, hi. First, I want to make, I'm not trying to make light of your situation with people getting hit by cars. It's awful. But I have to tell you that the pedestrians really have to take a part in this. And I drive in the city a lot. I drive in New York a lot in general. And I'm very aware of where people are because I don't want to be involved in something like this. And I'll be making a turn. I have the light. I always look to make sure who has the light as far as the pedestrians go. And they won't have the light. And they still insist on walking across. I've even had my car hit by them, you know, with their hands, you know, where they're walking by and they give me a look like, yeah, what are you going to do about it, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, and then a couple of weeks ago, you had a woman on your show saying, and somebody brought that point up, and she said, well, that's not what we're dealing with. We're letting the police deal with the jaywalkers. Well, you know, it's a two-way street. We have a 6,000 or more pound vehicle to stop. You know, they just got to stop their feet. And, you know, it's not fair to us to always be made out to be, the villain.
Kathy, I'm going to leave it there. I appreciate your call. Kat Aaron, this Mean Streets project that you're doing, tracking all the traffic fatalities for 2014, is one of the things that you're going to keep track of. Who is deemed to be at fault if jaywalking was involved, if the pedestrian was putting themselves at unnecessary risk, or where the drivers were actually breaking laws, or where, you know, it seemed to be just one of those things?
I mean, I think one of the challenges in gathering the data for this project is ascertaining who is at fault, because in the case particularly of a fatality, the remaining witness is the driver. So gathering information on whether the person was jaywalking, whose responsibility it was, is something that is essentially left to the police, and they often are not on the scene until, you know, after the crash has occurred. I do want to mention on this culture point that it has been sort of a part of the dialogue around Mayor de Blasio's Vision Zero initiative that there does have to be a culture shift in the city away from always wanting to be in a rush, away from needing to get across the street a few minutes faster, needing to get to your destination as a driver a few minutes faster. But I think there's also a real acknowledgement that a culture shift itself is not going to get the job done. It's not going to move the city to zero fatalities. That's going to take education. It's going to take infrastructure change, and it's going to take increased enforcement. And those are some of the things that are encompassed in the Vision Zero initiative that the administration's put out.
With 46 fatalities already, do you have any data? Do you have any patterns that are emerging that you can report on at this point?
Well, we've been looking at the enforcement and the sort of call from the mayor and the Vision Zero plan to step up enforcement of the most dangerous traffic violations. So failing to yield to pedestrians, speeding, ignoring a signal. And we've been mapping those. There's a precinct-by-precinct map of those ticketing infractions and totals on the Transportation Nation website. And we've seen that across the city it is generally up, although it's worth noting that in some places it's up because it was so low this time last year that it seems that there's been an enormous change. But in one precinct it went from writing 10 tickets to writing 100.
And it does seem, with respect to jaywalking, that Mayor de Blasio says there is no jaywalking crackdown taking place in my administration. He said it on this show. But Bill Bratton, the police commissioner, says, yeah, there kind of is.
Yeah, Brian, this all goes to what is causing these fatalities and serious injuries. And there is information. Each one of these deaths and serious injuries produces an investigation by the NYPD's Collision Investigation Squad. And they do sort of a forensic analysis, produce a report. They produced 466 of these last year. And there's valuable information in these reports, but they're not released to the public. They're not released to the press. And even the family members have to file a Freedom of Information request to get at them.
So you think a lot of Freedom of Information requests are in your future in order to complete this project this year, Kat?
We'll see. I think there's going to be a lot of digging for information in order to complete this project.
And let me just say, you want listeners to play a part in this project. What do you want them to do?
Absolutely. We are, as I said, working hard to gather information on all of the fatal crashes. But if there's any that we've missed, we'd love to hear about it. We're also trying to figure out whether charges have been filed in specific crashes. We've noted that where we know it. In a lot of places, we don't. So if listeners have information on that, we'd love to hear from them.
Where's the best place to go to follow this series? WNYC.org?
Yeah, that's a great place. Or transportationnation.org is another home for the, for all these stories.
WNYC's Kat Aaron and Jim O'Grady. Link to Mean Streets Project on our webpage, too, at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.